name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel. Names are very important in the Bible, especially in the birth narratives of our Lord. Both Matthew and Luke record in their Gospels that the Archangel Gabriel instructed that he was to be called Jesus. But there are subtle differences between these two Gospels. Firstly, only Luke described the Annunciation when the Archangel Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her she will conceive this child. And in the remarkable conversation between Mary and Gabriel, there is this simple command, "You shall call his name Jesus." St. Matthew, on the other hand, does not record the Annunciation. Instead, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him remarkable news about Mary, his fiancée. Then the angel says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So we are not only told in Matthew why he is to be called Jesus, but why his birth is so unique, to save his people from their sins. And thus we learn from the beginning what his mission and purpose is, all tied up with his name. The importance of names is also illustrated by the preceding 17 verses of Matthew, which is the actual beginning of his gospel. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, we have the beginning, which we can assume is a significant opening, which establishes both the intention and the theme of the author of this gospel. And what we find there in the first 17 verses is a tracing of the lineage of Jesus from Abraham, detailing the name of each descendant in turn. And when we read it, we find there are 14 generations from Abraham to King David, 14 generations from King David to the Babylonian captivity, and 14 generations from the Babylonian captivity to Jesus. Not only is Matthew showing that Jesus is descended from Abraham, but the significance of 7x2 is a biblical image of perfection, three times. What Matthew is doing, you see, is showing that Jesus is in a direct line in a marvellous way from the great patriarch of Israel, Abraham, who is also our father in the faith. By contrast, Luke has a different angle. His gospel opens with the angel's appearance to Zechariah, the prophecy about John the Baptist's birth, and then the Annunciation, and then the birth of Jesus. It is only some 30 years later, after Jesus is baptized and begins his ministry, that Luke records the genealogy of Jesus. And St. Luke has a subtle difference to Matthew's description. Firstly, instead of starting with Abraham and working down to Joseph, Luke goes backwards from Joseph, and he goes right back past Abraham to Adam, the first man. For Luke, the emphasis is on Jesus as part of the revelation of the whole of creation. Matthew sees the birth of Jesus as the fulfillment of the revelation of the Old Testament. But for Matthew, Jesus is the pre-existing Son of God, as St. Paul so clearly says in today's epistle from the Romans. But not only is Jesus the pre-existing Son of God, he is also the Son of Man, the one through whom God identifies with all mankind. The other difference between Matthew and Luke we find in today's Gospel. Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 from our first reading. His name shall be called Emmanuel. So although he is to be called Jesus, the ultimate name is Emmanuel, God with us. Just imagine yourself for a moment in Joseph's position. In a dream, he is told his betrothed Mary is now pregnant, for which he is not responsible, yet her virginity is attested to by the angel in the message. The confusion he must have felt about this extraordinary news was not really helped by the fact that the virgin birth is declared to be through the operation of the Holy Ghost. And then, to confound this confusion, the child is given two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. We could surely understand if Joseph woke up thinking it was really just a dream or maybe a nightmare. But he didn't. And Matthew says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. The thing is, as difficult as the virgin birth is to believe, and for some people is beyond grasping, the virgin birth is not about the miraculous birth of baby Jesus. It's not about messages from angels, either at the Annunciation or in the dream or even at Bethlehem. Nor is it about the unusual circumstances surrounding the birth of this child. No, the virgin birth is about the word Emmanuel. It is about God coming to his creation in a way that defies creation. The great God of heaven sends the second person of the Trinity to be part of the creation which he is responsible for in a way that defies that same creation. It's about God coming to his creation in a way that defies what is normal and cannot be repeated. At the heart of Christmas, therefore, is the purpose, not the mystery of the circumstances. This is the meaning of Emmanuel. It gives the purpose of the whole event. This is God communicating directly with his children, with you and I. And he communicates direct and clear, mediated not by a created reality, as in a natural birth, but by uncreated grace. Emmanuel, God with us. The very title reminds us that there is more to life than the visible and the tangible. The uncreated grace of God coming to us is amazing and profound. And what it tells us that God does not want to keep his love at a distance from us. And neither do we in our lives. We don't want love to be at a distance. We want it to be up close and personal, and so does God. The mystery of God's love coming close to us is a certainty when we gaze at Bethlehem and the manger. And as Bethlehem now looms on the horizon, barely a week away, we know for sure that God's love is never at a distance from us. And we also know this, that we have already encountered the presence and the closeness of God's love here at the altar, whenever we come to celebrate this great sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. Here, God's love has already come close to us. And so what we do today and what we are about to anticipate reminds me of words I saw on a Christmas card many years ago. The altar is another Bethlehem. The Blessed Sacrament, a continual Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.